You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10pm with Bobby Beavers, Andy Holding and Tom Morley in the studio. We've got National Hunt Racing on the domestic front from Kelso. We've got Southwell on the all-weather fibre sand alongside that as well, and a good day over in Ireland at Punchestown. National Hunt card there that includes the Grade 2 Moscow Flyer Novices Hurdle, which is usually a pointer towards the Supreme Novices Hurdle. So we're plenty to get stuck into on Sunday. My name is Mark Walton and joining me is Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
Hello, Mark Walton. I'm very well because you've asked me to do a podcast on a Sunday and there's a subtle card. So
perfect.
It truly is the Lord's Day.
Very good. Before we get stuck into that, Ross, we're going to have a little bit of a chat that's a little bit different, really, to what we would do a lot of time on a Saturday on the Racing Podcast, because normally we'd digest the racing from Saturday and talk about potential targets and so on and so forth. But the time we're having to record this and the fact that there's no real standout race this Saturday or whatever means that we're going to have a little bit of a chat about yourself. This is the life of Rottner. Yes, so you've been going through your figures. For people who don't know, Ross is professional punter / pundit / comedian. So you're going through your figures for your betting over the last few years and learning a bit about yourself. So go on, tell us what have you learned, Ross, and what you know, how did you break them down and all that kind of stuff?
Well, it's more the fact that you asked me, is there anything we can talk about racing-wise, and there literally isn't. And the only thing I've done, it's the time of year, isn't it, for self-reflection and analysis and new year, new you and all that, Mark, which clearly...
You didn't strike me as a new year, new me kind of guy.
Not normally, no, but last year I was all over the place, so I thought, you know, right. It's hard to... Well, put it this way, like I said, last year I was writing two Edinburgh shows, doing comedy, coming in here, writing articles, trying to bet as well, and... I needed to rejig some things because, you know, life just trundles along sometimes, Mark. Like, you know, it's in it. But I thought it was really interesting to go through and see what I was up and down on the past couple of years betting figures and things you learn as well.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people listening to this obviously like to have a bet. And we do get emails into the studio on a number of occasions asking about professionals' approaches kind of thing, so this could be quite informative, Ross.
Well, I think it could be, or it could be incredibly self-indulgent, depending on which way you look at it, but like I said, it's the only thing I've really done racing-wise, apart from just chipping away. But I think the one thing that stood out, I first initially went through and thought, my God, I'm bad at Wolverhampton. And I like, in my head, I like Wolverhampton. But then I had a closer look and I was like, oh, I'm not as good on the Kempton all-weather either as I thought I was. And then I thought, well, what do those two things have in common? And the main two things they have in common is most of their meetings are evening meetings. And I was like, okay, well, this is something I've been kind of aware of for a while. But I do think people forget that you don't have to bet all the time. You don't have to be betting all day. If you fancy one in the 12 o'clock and you fancy one in the 9 o'clock, it's a long old day between those two. And I kind of realised that actually by the time, especially when I'm in here, you come in and analyse in races for hours, have a half an hour break, go out and get a bit of fresh air, then come in and start all over again. It's mentally exhausting. And also, you know, cognitively, when you're tired mentally, you make worse decisions, which is why people, you know, when you're hungover and tired, you just eat junk food. And yeah, it's not just that your body's craving that stuff. It's also that you can't be bothered to do anything better. And that goes for the same thing when you're tired and it's 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night. If you've been betting all afternoon, if you've been analysing racing from the morning, betting on it in the afternoon, how can you possibly be making good decisions when it comes to 7 or 8 p.m.? So I think what I realised was that one of the main things is if you don't have an opinion on the evening racing, don't develop one or back it early on. Don't worry about, I'll wait to see if I can get a better price or whatever. Just get involved early on and treat the two things as separate entities. If you really fancy the evening cards, skip the afternoon. If you don't fancy the evening cards, skip the evening. Don't try and do too much, which sounds obvious, but it's easy, especially in the summer, to be constantly consumed by that kind of thing. For example, another track I'm not really good at is Hamilton, and they have a lot of evening meetings in the summer as well and things like that. So I think I just realised that I am 34 now and that I can't sit in front of a computer for 12 hours and expect to make good decisions from start to finish. So I think that was the big one for me anyway.
So make decisions whilst your mind's still fresh, basically, yeah?
And it sounds obvious, but I think people think they underestimate how much it takes out of you to be watching racing from 12 o'clock till 9. Mm. Again, if you're doing it to try and make money, try and make a living, it's a bit different. If you're just doing it recreationally, you probably just tune in when you're having a look. But I think just focusing in bursts of energy is a good thing. Treat it like it's mental exercise, so treat it like it's physical exercise. You wouldn't go for a run for 12 hours unless you're a madman.
A machine.
Yes.
So. Okay. So that's one thing that you can work on, or that you perhaps need to change. Mm. What were the strong points? What were you good at?
Very good at group one races in particular.
Is that because the form stands up more than in a class five? So?
I think that's the thing. I think there's not as many variables in terms of horses improving. Of going forwards and backwards, and also being a speed figures man, you can see horses must have done a certain level of performance to get into that grade. So there's not as many variables. You're not going to have as many horses improving. You know, there's some horses that end up winning a class 2 handicap and you go, oh crikey, you know, they were only off a mark of 55 a few weeks ago. Obviously once you get into group 1 company, you know how good these horses are, or at least the ones that do improve, you can anticipate that improvement, and often you get a decent price about that anticipation anyway. So I do think they are easier to analyse, and also easier to get more money on as well. That's another thing. So when you do have a strong opinion, you can get a decent bet on it. So that was interesting. I'm trying to think what else was up there. But I definitely think playing to your strengths. And also just staking. Again, this is another major thing. But last year, I definitely think I took my eye off the ball a little bit. And again, a constant reminder that on those days where I let my staking slip, they had a big impact over the course of the year. Because if you're trying to make a profit over 12 months, you can have a bad Tuesday. And genuinely, I went back and looked at my figures and I was like, that was a terrible day, but I do not remember why or what racing was on or what happened. Mm. So constantly reminding yourself that you're playing the long game is definitely worth reminding. So yeah, I think playing to your strengths, they're all very simple things, I think, and they're all obvious things and things that people would tell you once you start betting. Again, John Babb is full of things like this, and I remember him saying, you know, you can't have more winning bets, but you can have less losing bets. That was the best thing he ever told me. You know, so you're eradicating those ones where you go, because over the course of time, those bad decisions add up. Again, I mean, I've been doing this. I've been making most of my living from this from about 6 or 7 years now, and it staggers me that you slip and you go back into making rookie errors. But you're a human, so life changes, and you've got to constantly be reminding yourself, and also keep good records.
Yes.
Because otherwise, you don't know you're making the same mistakes, and you can't go back and look at them. So even if it is at the end of each day, putting it in a spreadsheet, how much you've won and lost, even if that is the bare minimum, you can at least look back and go, "Oh, I had a bad day then. What was that? Oh, it was this meeting or this track, and oh, I don't even like that track. Why was I betting on that?"
Yeah.
So, or I had a good day then. What happened there? Oh, it was Royal Ascot. Of course, I should focus on the bigger races.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say try not to bet all day. Get your staking sorted out. Keep good records. And play to your strengths. All very obvious stuff. But it helped mentally refresh me and remind me of that stuff this year.
Good. Thank you very much. I enjoyed that. And I like the advice there. You can have more winners, but you can have less losers. It reminds me of a phrase that my some betting advice my granddad gave me many years ago, and it was, do you know what our problem is? We have too much on the losers and not enough on the winners.
Yeah. Which again, is, but genuinely, a lot of the time, they lose because, and you've had too much on them because you're in a bad mental place, either you're chasing or it's too late in the day.
Yeah.
So you end up having too much on it, and it's a bad decision.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, that sounds like one of those things you go, oh, granddad. But actually, yeah, when you dig into it, you're like, yeah, that does kind of make sense.
Good, let's move back to the racing action that's coming up this weekend then. Let's have a look at some of Sunday's racing. Ross has got two races at Southwell, which I'm sure is a track that you had plenty of success at, given it's probably your favourite punting track.
Yeah, Newmarket, Ascot, Southall.
Nice.
And Cheltenham on the jumps. Again, if they were on every week, I wouldn't be sat here.
No. Before we get to that, though, I'm just going to have a quick glance at the 215 Punchestown, because that's the feature race over in Ireland. A very good race as well, the Moscow Flyer Novices Hurdle. If you look at recent winners of this, we usually see Willie Mullins run or unleash his Supreme Novices Hurdle horse. The likes of Min and Get a Bird have won this race for him in recent years. In terms of this year's renewal, Harry is the 9-4 favourite, 3-1 for Build Me Up Buttercup, Swordsman 3-1, 9-2 for Jetez, 7-1 for Felix Deji, and 20-1 for Janmaat. So Harry at the top of the market for Willie Mullins, Ruby Walsh on board. It's almost inevitable that was going to be favourite here, Ross.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. Although I don't think there's too much between the two Mullins horses.
Yeah, Build Me Up Buttercup.
I do have a preference for the second favourite. But yeah, Harry, short price defeat in a bumper back in January last year. But obviously that was a bit of a sighter. They thought, we'll give it the rest of the year off. Came back at Tremor and won pretty cosily over Bucks Billionaire, the stablemate. I'll say pretty cosily. Was never really looked like winning. Never really looked like losing, but did have to dig deep to do so. But I really like Build Me Up Buttercup. I liked it when it was with Mick Shannon beforehand in bumpers. Has a real nice turn of foot, and yeah, I think she's a really interesting runner. She did well to win first time over hurdles over at Navan.
Big field out there as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, again, I mean, she kicked on a long way home and almost got caught, but just had enough in the locker to get home on that occasion. She's taken on the boys here today again, and I think I just think she's a really interesting performer, and she was a nice type on the in the bumper sphere, like I said, and be interested to see what she has in the locker.
I think she was up to about listed level, wasn't she, on the flat as well, Build Me Up Buttercup?
Yes.
Yeah, so quite a nice mare. Interesting, that's what Ross would lean towards then in that 250 at Punchestown, but he's got a little bit more of a strong opinion on some of the racing at Southwell. Going to give us a first and last race double here, perhaps. The 12:20 is the first on the card. Classics handicap over at 7 furlongs. We've got a field of, well, a big field, a field of 14, not that big, 14 runners set to go to post here, Ross. Do you like, is there an each way shape to this then, given the field size, or are you strong on anything?
No, I thought the likely favourite is going to be a bit of a cut above, really. I thought War and Glory. Again, not my usual kind of approach for Southall. This horse is making its debut on the surface. Was a winner last time out, so the betting's likely to be strong because of that. But you know, the surface switch is often something you need to watch when it comes to the all weather. But had some really good figures in novice events, and I quite fancied it last week, and it really knuckled down well to beat Beryl the Petal. It was a bit of a muddling little race, but the speed figure was much better than I was expecting when I went back to do it. So I think that form's strong. And then when I looked at it, I thought, oh, you know, she's switching to Southall, I'm definitely going to take her on. Then you look closer at the pedigree, War Command has a decent record here. Every single War Command progeny that's run on the surface has run a good race. First, second, third or fourth, every single one of them. There's not been that many of them. It's a small sample size, admittedly, but it does look good. Warfront, the grandsire, also has a good record here. And even the damsire, Lou Jane, has a good record on the surface. So everything looks good for a good run at Southall. James Tate's got a good record here as well. This actually looks a weaker race than what it won last time out. So I thought on paper it looked like everything would be fine for War and Glory.
War and Glory then, a strong favourite then, and one to take seriously in that 12-20. Last race on the card is the 3 o'clock Class 6 handicap over 7 furlongs. We've got a field of 14 set to go to post for this one as well, so almost similar to the first race you looked at there. You can see a certain pattern emerging in your selections.
Well, the difference between this is a proper subtle race. This is absolute carnage.
Chock full of course and distance form, isn't it?
Absolutely. Won the last couple of years by unexposed four-year-olds, though, in contrast to what you normally expect. But there are quite a few unexposed four-year-olds here in this race. But loads of course form. I said Essential, who won this race. Essential, who's won here in the past, comes here. That's got to be of interest. B Machine and Bold Spirit for Declan Carroll's got a really good record. I backed Queen's Royale last week. That probably did a little bit too much in front, but should come on for the run. Dollar Value stepping up in trip as well. A lot of horses here with chances. Grey Destiny, who likes it here as well, but he's drawn a bit wide. But I take a bit of a chance here with Broken Wings, who is a frustrating customer. She's 0 from 16, and she's starting to get very frustrating indeed. But I thought there was a lot of promise in her run last time out. It was a first on the surface behind a course specialist in the shape of Bond Angel. Little bit keen on the inside, but better drawn today off that inside rail, and there should be more to come from Broken Wings. So it is a bit of a chance because she hasn't won a race and she's up against a lot of course and distance winners. But I thought she might be overpriced.
Broken Wings and the selection for us in the 3 o'clock to go along with War and Glory in the 2:20. Thank you very much, Ross. Very best of luck and enjoy on Sunday.
Goodbye.
There you go, Ross Briley's selections for Sunday's racing. Then you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10 PM. Bobby Beavers, Andy Holding and Tom Morley are the team in the studio, Kelso, Southwell and Punchestown are the three meetings. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.